Good morning. As always, it's good to see you. I look forward to today. I get to talk without being interrupted. not at all. I come because I love y'all. I do. And for those that are visiting, we're so glad that you've come our way and hope that you'll come again. This morning, I want to talk about something that I don't know how to talk about in a certain way. It's the title of the lesson, of course, is Keeping Your Heart. And our scripture reading, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Because you see, it is in that aspect of which we measure ourselves truly. It is not how well I keep everything because I don't. I'd love to say that I'm sinless, and yet I slip in so many ways, and my thinking leads to things that it shouldn't, and you know what I mean. And so when I talk about my heart, and when we talk about keeping that, you see, do we speak of innocence? And I just want you to think about that. Are you thinking about the fact that I'm pure in heart if I'm innocent? That I've never done what some people have done, that I've never said what some people say, I've never gone where some people go. And you see, there's a sense where innocence is valuable. And then I've asked the question before, you know, what would you do, if you could regain innocence? What would you pay to have innocence again? And there are many cases when we would spend a great deal. And when I think of innocence, it has this quality of purity in it, and that it does not suspect evil. It does not act from selfish gain. There is no guile in innocence. No sense of me gaining in innocence. The innocent heart is simply true to the moment. And wouldn't you want to be that? Isn't that not what I want to be innocent. And then I would say from another standpoint, what about openness? Would you consider that? That innocence includes openness. That we take little children, and I think it's why Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me. That they are not only innocent, that they don't think evil, they don't measure things by what may happen. They're not protecting themselves, they're not cynical, they're not any of those things. And then they are also open, they will tell you what they think. And it's not a matter of whether that fits what the situation says or something that way. They, in a certain way, blurt out. And we love them for that. That there is no prejudice and openness. That they like old people, and they like fat people, and they like skinny people, and they like the beautiful, and they like everybody. It's how you treat me. And they show that. So what do men and women want when we speak from the heart? What is it that we're looking for when we go that way? You see, do we want to hear about accomplishment and gain? And I really ask that in a serious way, because we are, and especially our country, about accomplishment and gain. I need to be better tomorrow than I've been today. I need to have more or gain more. And I'm talking about who I am, not about what I possess. And as I do those things, you see, is it about that? That I've learned to act better, that I am a better person by the manner of things and accomplishments that I've gained that way? Is it about education and understanding, that I know more and can speak in a better way, that I'm fluid when I speak? Is that it? Do I look for acceptance? And I think there's no one that doesn't want acceptance. You see, but I don't want just acceptance. I want acceptance from a worthy source. And so I seek that. And that we all want these things. And that our selfishness skews our view of self and creates doubt in our souls. that I believe my failures create insecurity within me, and I believe my inconsistency forces the conclusion too often that I am not good, and I want to be. Because a good man wouldn't do that, think that, act that way. You see, and we're harder on ourselves than we are on you, on someone else. And so when I go to explore the heart, you see, and begin to look at that and the measure of it, knowing that it's not about perfection, that my purity and being pure in heart has to be about motive now. What do I want, and what do I treasure? Those things. And so I want to look at some particular aspects that of men and women, and I want us to see that men and women aren't the same. Big surprise. Even though we know those things, I want to see us as pleasing another person takes knowledge of the person. And that when we offer encouragement, the way we offer encouragement is by knowing you well enough to know how, to know what needs to be supplied. I want us to see that my goals pressed on another person may shift the entire relationship or experience that we have with them, because I'm pressing. So I have a statement. This is by a man named John Eldridge. I don't know if he has any, what his qualifications are, but I will say that I like the statement I want us to consider. Not every woman wants a battle to fight, but every woman yearns to be fought for. Listen to the longing of a woman's heart. She wants to be more than noticed. She wants to be wanted. She wants to be pursued. Every woman also wants an adventure to share. So many men make the mistake of thinking that the woman is the adventure, but that is where the relationship immediately goes downhill. A woman doesn't want to be the adventure. She wants to be caught up into something greater than herself. And finally, every woman wants to have beauty to unveil, not to conjure, but to unveil. Most women feel pressure to be beautiful from very young, but that is not what I speak of. There is also a deep desire to simply and truly be the beauty and be delighted in. Do you see me? Ask the heart of every girl. Are you captivated by what you see? And so when you think about that, what do you think of that statement? Do you find truth in it? I do. I can see that as being the case. Does it ring true even if you're not a woman? And yes, I'm going to say yes for the men in the room. Does it ring true if you are? See, I can't answer that question. But I believe that so. Does every woman want to be wanted by someone? I think so. Does every woman look for someone to share the adventure with? Yeah. Are men short-sighted when they make a woman the adventure? Women are truly complicated and different and can be a study in and of themselves. And is it true that a woman should not be the adventure? See, I'm not sure we don't skew things sometimes with our positioning because we haven't thought about what things really are. That we need to get outside of what seems to be sometimes and think about what is. And when I think about that and I think about my heart and hearts, you see, that question that comes up, do you see me? Do you see me? Or do you see a manifestation that I've conjured? Do you see something because I don't feel I can be true in front of you? I can't blurt out what I think because my blurt outs may not be kind. My blurt outs may not be timed properly. My blurt outs may not be so many different things. We all want someone to see the real me, but we don't give ourselves up easily. Oh, no, no. We peel the onion, and it takes years to really know someone and to know who they are. We have shame over our mistakes, and so we hide them. And as we just sang, keep me from secret sin. It is something that affects our purity. With the way life is, most people condemn us for our mistakes. And yet, if you were to turn the finger around, you know that you've made as many as anyone else. Why would you condemn someone else while you let your own mistakes go or cannot stop them? And so my question is, what do you do when we find someone who understands? Do you value them? Yeah. They become big time important to us. And so they confirm the heart. We're lucky if we have parents that understand us. Not all parents are trying to understand. They're trying to train. And you may get something that you didn't really expect, or you're not getting something that you might think that you wanted. And so we're lucky if we have friends that understand. And many times we can have that. And they do understand us. But what we really look for is the one that understands and will commit to a lifetime of understanding. And so I want to make that point, is that when it comes to understanding, do we? Or do I skew it with my own opinion and my own shaded look? Why do people do what they do? And I ask you that. Why do they do the good things that they do? And many times they do them because God said so, and that they believe in God and the things that are right that way. And so they hold to that, and I try to attempt to be the good person I should be by doing good things that God approves of. And that's what it should be. That is right. But then if I take that and say, well, then why do I do wrong? Because I don't care what God says. But that's not so. I do care what God says. Why do I do what is wrong? Why do I do, and is it that I don't want to be that kind of disciplined? I don't want to be so disciplined that all it is discipline, and that I lose who I am and where my heart is and what it's all about. I want to love. I want to be struck by those things. I want to be touched by other people, both when they're happy and when they're sad. I want to be that person. It includes those good times and bad times and weak times and successes. It includes the whole package. I understand. Not every day do we score. You see, that's just not the way it works. And so, to understand, I have to put it in context. Ross, I'm sorry, but I'm thinking about you right now. He was building a fence. And if you've had him tell you the story, you know just how detailed that Ross is. I think all pilots have to have a certain amount of detail, and they can't help it, just like engineers and some of those things. Anyway, forget all that. He goes out to build his fence, and somehow, and we're not going to talk about the how, it goes awry, and that the holes don't necessarily line up with where the fence is. Or that it leans, or that it's this, or that it any many other things that go on. And why did that happen? And I'm not going to contemplate that. It did. I see me in Ross, and therefore we're friends. May not be on the fence. I've made plenty of mistakes that are so like that. Just because. Are we captivated by what you see? See, this is the most delicate of question, and put forth really with tremulation. Can you be captivated by me? See, that's the risk. Most of us, we got the barriers up because I don't think so. I don't think you could be captivated by me, because I'm just normal. I'm not the definition of good. I hope I'm not the definition of evil. I hope I'm not so many things, as you can see. But every woman looks for the man that can fulfill this question. Can you look at me and look at me intently and love me? I do. You see, every woman doubts and continues to doubt if your answer is true. So how do you become believable? And that's a question. How do I show the one I love the most that I still love her the most? Men need to pay attention to the little girl that trusted you and would choose, that you would choose her and that you would choose her again. It matters. It matters. And so I want you to think about John 3:16-19. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There is the truth. What did God do? He understood that so many of us do not find the man or woman that will love us regardless of weakness and error. He understands that not every marriage is about love. Not every marriage is going to be warm and wonderful and continue that way for decades. Not everyone is going to have that, because life can throw some curveballs. He understands that. God is the one who declares that though men may not believe in you, I will. And this goes to women believing in men the same way that men believe in women, that I need someone that believes in me, and that there are days when you don't. But God does. And now we were talking about what's the call that we can say about evangelism and that we can teach about, is that God says this always, is that though others don't believe in you, I do. I believe you can be what you should be. I believe that you can intend and choose what you want to be and be that. And I know that you're going to make errors, but I'm going to just set that aside, because I'm looking at where you're going. Where do you want to be? Who you're going to be? And that's where your heart is. It is God who states that He will never forsake you or leave you. And so Jesus sets parameters for us to keep our hearts free from the things that cause utter disappointment in our lives. He declares the positive things that make the heart sing. And He denounces the negative things that clog the beauty that we have. But do I see it? Do I recognize what God has done? It's not about the social mores. It's not about what other people think and those things. It is for me to believe. In Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why then do we become burdened? If my heart is true, you see, I will not. So my question becomes, how do you find a way to be seen? What shall be the manner of our being seen? And I want you to recognize the answer to this is not really in self-contemplation. The answer is found in seeing the beauty of someone else. It's not based in thinking that someone's perfect. It's based in seeing the inner person that strives to make a mark by the good things that they do, the kind words, the good actions. That's what Jesus was trying to teach us. Teach people that we care because God cares. We believe in Him Therefore, we believe in you when no one else does. It is found in innocence. All those suspicions that we have and carry with us about who people are, and because of what they're dressed like, we can't talk to or be around, that we let fear rule us. No. It is found in openness of sharing yourself, knowing that someone could hurt you. It is shown in how someone views accomplishment and gain, beauty and sophistication, education and understanding, even when it is clouded by the lack of sharing. If I were to think right now of someone that's in that position, the position that we're talking about, it would be to take one of our college students and say, they have all this potential of who they're going to be when they finish their growth. And you're loaded with potential. But who you become will be based on what you choose. I believe in your choices, you see. That's the idea. So that we must see people not for who they are, but who they want to be. And that people don't tell you what is hidden to strangers. They don't tell you what they really hope for, what they really want, what I really am afraid of, those kinds of things. They don't do that easily. And so we have to invite them to tell us. And then we have to see past their history, where they made mistakes and they did it wrong, and they said the wrong thing and did the wrong thing. But did they learn? Did they learn? So I ask the question to all those that are single, what are you looking for? What kind of person do you want to spend the rest of your life with, or your life's adventure with? And my suggestion is that you take your time and find the one that is truly special when it comes to such a decision. Don't enter that quickly. If you're married, do you still see the one married as a fellow adventurer in a life full of danger? Because, you know, things could happen at any time, and life could change. Do you find them to support you, tease you, see you? Have you let life take the pleasure of their company away? Has business of the day dampened the love, or is your spouse an escape from it all? For us as a congregation, if life is can be this kind of beautiful with one person who loves me, what would it be like if I had 10? If I actually shared myself and 10 people could love me? 20. All of you. Do you see? May we look for the inner person who has such great insecurity that they have trouble trusting others, and let's fill the one spot we can in their void. May we be known for understanding as Jesus does. May we love one another because we know how hard it is to keep the balance of love and duty in this life. And so, are you pure in heart? And when I ask that question, I know what I'm asking. And we will all say, no, I'm not the kind of pure I want to be. I'm not as good as I want to be, but I can take another step toward what I want to be. May we do that. If you haven't stopped and considered your spouse, your children, your boss, your friend, and even strangers, let's start thinking about them as we go forward. That nothing happens without a reason, and let's find the good reasons to involve them in our adventure. And I believe that the effect could be world-changing. What do you think? I hope you think that Jesus was the source of that change back so long ago, and that he's still making those changes in people's lives today. And that if you haven't made that change, make it. If you've been stymied along the way, or you're burdened by too many things that don't matter, put them aside and let's look at the heart again and consider again who you want to be. And if we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?